In our modern day environment, there are so many different diets you can adhere to. There's vegetarian, vegan, raw food, macrobiotic, the list goes on. So when it comes to managing cancer, do you go for a special diet or keep with what you know? And how does diet apply to you if you're overweight? If you are thinking about using an alternative diet therapy, or if family or friends are pushing you to try one, there are a number of things to consider first. And Steve Pratt from Cancer Council WA is here to take us through them. First up though, Steve, how do you navigate the many diet choices that are out there?
Well, I think probably with some difficulty because, as we've discussed, the internet has all range of diets and, you know, special foods and all this type of thing. And it is a bit of a minefield, and it's a bit of a minefield for those of us who are trained in this area. I think it's important to note that some cancer patients do require special diets, and they will have a diet that's prescribed to them by a dietitian and in collaboration with their oncologist. And those are more often people that have cancers of the sort of gastrointestinal tract, so from the mouth down to bowel cancer. For a lot of other people, though, particularly those with solid tumours not of the gastrointestinal tract, we do recommend just a normal, healthy diet. And it's important that people think of that as complementary to their treatment, not necessarily curative. We certainly know that a good diet, you know, gives you every chance of a decent recovery. A bad diet can really probably put you behind the eight ball.
Okay, so when you know, maybe considering changing your diet, obviously you talk to your dietitian, your oncologist. But one point I think is important to make is, you know, people who are overweight or obese, I mean, how do they deal with this kind of thing?
That is a tricky one, and we're seeing across the population more and more people are overweight and obese. During treatment is not the time to lose weight or gain weight, for that matter. It's really, we tend to recommend that people remain weight stable. Again, you know, with cancer, it's not one disease, so there's special cases that sit outside that. But for the vast majority of people, we recommend people don't change weight. It's useful to hop on the scales probably once a week, and if you do notice changes in weight, and probably more than 1 or 2 kilos, do mention them to the dietitian or the oncologist. Weight gain is a side effect of some drugs, and that's probably one that's not spoken about a lot. We tend to see weight loss and the sort of prognostic indicators with weight loss. So if weight goes either way, it really is important to mention that.
And we do have a track on weight gain, so you can have a listen to that a little bit later in the CD. I mean, if you sort of want to look at these different diets and you're wondering what to do, what are the red flags, I suppose, to knowing whether or not you're on the right track?
There are a number of things, and we have a list, and the list is available in our publication on the website. It's important that, you know, if people do change their diet, that they don't exclude one of the five food groups. Some people do through necessity, but that needs to be done in close communication with a dietitian. We also know that people don't have to exclude cooked foods or limit cooking methods, and we tend to advise against frying, but raw foods alone, some of them are unpalatable, some of them are just inedible, and you do miss out. Cooking actually makes some nutrients available, so it's important that you eat both raw and cooked foods. The other one we see is people limiting protein foods, and that's also a bit of a no-no. So people cutting down on meat and fish and chicken, and even at times avoiding them. So vegan and vegetarian diets aren't necessarily bad, but it's just that we need to make sure people are getting enough protein, particularly during cancer treatment when there's a really important immune function and rebuilding function. The other one we see a lot is it completely changes the way that people choose and prepare foods. And again, that can be just a massive overhaul in your life. And we see it classically that people often end up preparing two meals. So one for the person who's having the cancer treatment, one for the rest of the family. And in some cases, people do need to rapidly, massively overhaul the way they cook and prepare food because it's a move towards a healthier diet. But that should be appropriate for the whole family.
Yeah, and I guess you do it gradually as well, not this sort of drastic change that's going to shock your body.
Yeah, in some ways, some people prefer the gradual change, and for some people it's actually just almost a line in the sand that says, right, from today we're going to, you know, eat a much healthier diet. It doesn't matter which way you do it, as long as it works, I guess is probably the truth. The other one we see is this really impacts on your quality of life, and that's your ability to enjoy social occasions. So we know that during treatment sometimes people are nauseous and those things, and social occasions become a bit difficult anyway. It makes it even harder if you're having to say no to certain foods and all of those types of things, and I would encourage people to, as much as possible, retain some quality of life, and enjoying those social occasions where you can is a really important thing. So when you cut out massive food groups and things, it makes those situations a bit more difficult. Again, special supplements, and we've spoken about that, that there are not all supplements, but some supplements are actually about an industry. There's a supplement industry and that generates a large amount of money, doesn't, and then, you know, not all beneficial. The other one we see a lot of is juices. And juices, again, that's an interesting one. Juices aren't inherently bad, but lots of juice isn't necessarily good. And so if people do decide they want to try juices, we generally recommend they do that after a meal so that they're getting the solid foods. Remember, a lot of the nutrients in fruit and vegetables are actually in the skin and the fibre. So by juicing them, you're losing some of those beneficial nutrients. It's also a very concentrated form of energy, juice. So we see people drinking large amounts, and in some cases it can lead to weight gain. And again, that's not a great thing to be happening during treatment. And the classic one we see is people who drink a lot of carrot juice often turn orange.
No way.
Yeah. Ah. And that's a thing called beta-carotenemia. So right. If you start turning orange because you're drinking a lot of juice, you're probably having a bit much.
Wow. So it just sounds like nothing in excess, really. Just keep it cool.
Yeah. I mean, don't avoid juices, but certainly don't make them the backbone of your diet. Take them on as something extra.
Yeah, right. Wow, how incredible.
The other one that we see, which is a shame, is when it costs people a lot of time or a lot of money. And that's a decision that we all have to make as individuals. You know, some people want to throw everything at it, and that's entirely understandable. But I guess we just need to make sure that we're not sending ourselves bankrupt and, you know, really time poor. Eating a healthy diet during cancer treatment shouldn't be a horribly expensive thing. And in fact, we know that in the vast majority of cases, healthy foods are often cheaper. So plenty of fruit and vegetables, and we can keep those costs down.
Fantastic. And we'll be dealing with that as well a little bit later in the Cancer Council CD, spending food money wisely. So you can have a listen to that if you like. But it sounds like if any of those things sort of come up on your radar when you're considering what to do, you should question it and perhaps have a chat to your dietitian or your doctor.
Exactly right. If you do get a tick against any of those, it doesn't mean don't do it. It just means that it's probably worth talking it through and putting it to a bit more scrutiny.
Thanks, Steve. Cancer Council WA's website has more information about nutrition during cancer treatment. Just go to cancerwa.asn.au and follow the links.